Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. So what do you picture in your mind when the word revealed is used? Well, it's something that is hidden from plain sight, and when that is made known to you completely and without doubt, it is revealed, like a statue or another piece of fine artwork has a veil over it, and when that veil is removed, the art underneath is revealed. Or it could be something more stunning. I remember when our younger son was in high school and I asked him to clean his room. Upon first look, it appeared to be clean. But there was this odious presence, if you catch my drift. And then upon a more careful examination, a gym bag full of dirty sweaty clothes were revealed under his bed. Now, if a fruit tree planted where the roots absorb poison will inevitably reveal bitter fruit. The tree may look beautiful and offer up a lush crop to those who see it, but when the fruit is consumed, it tastes bad. It's noxious on the palate. All of its beauty and fruitfulness is useless when the fruit that is revealed is bitter. It's that way when the law forces the fruit upon the tree of life. While the law itself is good and tells us that we must produce fruit in our life as Christians, it doesn't have the power to feed the crop, that sweet food that it needs and demands. While it may force the fruit to bud and grow, it's noxious and bitter to the taste. The law can produce fruit, but it is not the fruit that God seeks, or that is sweet to the taste. This gives us Christians a clue why it appears that unbelievers often produce more and more beautiful fruit in their lives than believers do. The law can force production. The tree of life can appear to be fruitful and attractive, lovely and heavy with luscious looking fruit. But it is bitter fruit indeed, if forced. Jesus revealed himself among his closest followers many times during the 40 days following the resurrection until his ascension into heaven. Now, Jesus is always with us, but he chooses where and when and how he makes his presence more obviously apparent to his followers. He often reveals himself to us in places and ways and times that we don't expect. We please the Lord when we trust his promises and walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus had clearly told his disciples that the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And yet, for the disciples, who were admittedly a bit dense, the truth of this prediction wasn't revealed to them until Good Friday, when they saw Jesus nailed on that cross and suffering until he was dead. Sometimes we just don't pay attention either, do we? We confess to be Christians, but we only go through the motions because our parents want us to do that, or it seems like the right thing to do. After his death and resurrection, Jesus revealed himself to those disciples as risen when they visited the tomb on Easter morning, and then again that evening back in their upper room in Jerusalem, and a week later when he visited them again, when Thomas was present with them. Jesus made it very clear to these his followers that he was truly risen from the grave, and they could now be witnesses of that fact. He commissioned them and the whole church on earth as their successors to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then again, in Acts verse chapter 1, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When Jesus' followers were sent to Galilee to wait for Him until His ascension into heaven, they didn't know exactly the time or the hour when He would appear. Sound familiar? That's exactly when we are told that Jesus will return again and reveal Himself to the world in person. So we are told by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And again, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, "Do not grow weary in doing good." Our lives as Christians are to be guided by Jesus as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. Again, from the Word of God, "Because we are not alone, you are to encourage one another and build one another up." Others, like preachers today in Colossians chapter 4, Paul tells the parishioners, "The preacher is a beloved brother and faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, that he may encourage your hearts." Again, in 1 Corinthians, Paul exhorts the people about the ministers of the church. "They have refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men." It is from the preaching of Jesus' gospel that you are encouraged and refreshed, and Jesus is revealed to you. The question now becomes, will you recognize your Savior when He reveals Himself to you? The closest disciples of Jesus out for a relaxing fishing expedition that morning that is spoken of today in John's gospel reading didn't recognize Him at first. He spoke to them from the shore, and it wasn't that far away. After all, Peter swam from the boat to shore in order to greet Him when they did identify Him. But it took another miracle of filling their nets with fish for them to get it. It's not a big surprise that they didn't recognize Jesus, though. After all, Paul told the Roman churches, "Oh, the depth and riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable are His ways." Today, in this secular society we live, Jesus can be hard to identify. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Again, we're told from God's Word that it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. It is they who are doomed to pass away. In other words, only those who have faith in the truth and wisdom of Holy Scriptures are taught by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells you plainly, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So your likelihood of seeing Jesus face to face soon isn't all that expected, but your faith is strengthened through the hearing of God's Word, and you do see Him as an active participant in your life. Your spirit is strengthened and your faith becomes even stronger. And in addition to God's Word, you see His action in the sacraments of the church. In holy baptism, you witness the washing away of sins with water and the sign of the cross pushed on the forehead and upon the heart of the person who's being baptized, to mark them as one who is redeemed by Christ crucified. And then, most importantly, Jesus actually touches you on the lips with His very own body and blood in the celebration of the Lord's Supper each week. It is of greatest importance that we recognize our risen Redeemer where He has promised to be found. And we don't let Satan and the world and our own sinful flesh to obscure our vision to see our Lord Jesus by faith. Jesus has provided and continues to provide you, His disciples, with what you need to have faith in His victory over death by His resurrection. He has equipped you for earthly lives that are worth living and that are capable of bringing glory to God and benefit to others. He promises abundant blessings to those who follow Him and obey Him. While we wait for Him to return and inaugurate His heavenly kingdom in all of its fullness, we can find Him where He's promised us that we can find Him, in the means of grace, His Word, His sacraments. In them we find the strength and the encouragement to endure until this great, glorious appearance when we will all see Him face to face, because we know Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till He returns again in glory. Amen.